Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Our text for this morning comes from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, you've heard me say it before. It doesn't matter how many times you encounter it. It never feels natural. It never feels right. Death always feels wrong. Something inside us does not accept that we won't hear that voice or see that face or touch that hand or experience that laughter ever again. It is surreal. The grief counselors can talk to them until they're blue in the face about, oh, how death is simply a part of life, how it's natural, how we must accept it as inevitable. But we never do. We never will. We never should. It seems as if Mary did not accept death. Well, she had no doubt that her Lord, her teacher, was dead. She had witnessed the horror of it, standing beside his mother. She had seen the light in his eyes grow dim as he hung gruesomely on the cross. She had seen them take his limp body from the wood. She had heard the horrid sound as they pulled out the nails. He was dead. She had no doubt of that. That's why she was there early that Sunday morning. But it wasn't right. She knew it wasn't right. She simply had to touch him again. It was imperative that she see that body again. But the body was gone. She had run to tell Peter and John. Big help they were. They checked it out and told her she was right. The body is gone. Then they left her, but she remained. She didn't know what to do, where to go, to whom to turn. So she just stood there and started to cry. Not the easy, gentle tears of the merely sad, but Mary wept the gut-wrenching, full-voiced sobs of those grieving death. It wounds not only those that it takes from us, but it wounds us. It wounds those who are left. And sometimes it wounds us so badly that we think it will kill us, right then, right there. Mary knew of that, and so she sobbed as she looked into the tomb. But something was different now. The tomb was not empty after all, at least not completely. There were angels there, clothed in white. One was sitting where the Lord's head had been, and one where his feet had been. And though Mary's sorrow could never shake or destroy their joy, they were concerned about Mary, so they asked her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Jesus' death was a given, so she did not reply, "Because my Lord is dead." Instead, her answer was, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Not knowing about the location of the body, that was tearing her up. Death was horrible enough, but to not be able to find the body, to not be able to see the body, to not be able to care for the body, not to be able to tend to it and properly prepare it for burial, how could someone do that to the body of a loved one? She had to know where Jesus was. It must have seemed impossible for her to go on otherwise. Mary's grief is of such a magnitude that having a conversation with angels doesn't even seem to faze her. So she straightens up and turns and almost runs into the one who had never been far from her, the one who stood right beside her in her grief, though she didn't know it. And he gently asks, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" A glimmer of hope rises in Mary's heart. Is it the gardener? Perhaps he has moved the body and knows where they have laid him. "Sir," she cries, "if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Was it her tears that blinded Mary that morning? Was it the grief of her heart that made the world seem to move in slow motion, unreal, phantom-like? Did she think it was all a dream? But it all changed when he said one word. He called her name, Mary. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Although she had not recognized him before, at the sound of her name, Mary's heart must have pounded. Her breath probably caught in the back of her throat. She moved the hair from her face and stared in awe. Terror, perhaps, joy, all the emotions mixed together, rising like a flood. That word of the Lord cut through her grief. That was the voice of her shepherd calling her name. "Rabboni," she cried, "my teacher." She lunged for Jesus, held his feet. Beyond hope, beyond her wildest dreams, he stood there. Not a ghost, not a spirit, not an illusion, not some wishful thinking or psychological whatever. Her Jesus, flesh and blood, the wounds still visible, but transfigured, shining in glory, the crucified and now risen one, her Jesus. And the tears came again, no doubt, but of a different sort. These were not the sobs of despair, but the tears that come from a cup overflowing with joy. It was a tender moment, but her joy was only the beginning. Jesus had work for Mary to do, an assignment for her to carry out. He sent her first to his apostles to give them the message that he lives and he is preparing to ascend to the Father. Death was not the end of him, and so it will not be the end of the apostles or of Mary, nor will death be the end of you. Jesus has changed forever how we live in these bodies, how we grieve for our loved ones, and how we ourselves die. While it is historical, the Easter account is not merely a piece of history. It is an historical account into which you and I have been made a part. We are grafted into the story of Jesus through our baptisms. Christ's death to sin becomes our death to sin. Christ's resurrection becomes our resurrection. Oh, we still feel in our bones how wrong death is, how it's unnatural. We hate it. We should hate it with a passion. But Jesus has made it something we never need to fear, not ever again. For by his own death and resurrection, Jesus has wounded death itself, dealt it a mortal blow from which death can never recover. As when Jonah was in the belly of the great fish, on the third day he was vomited up on the shore, so Jesus was deep in the belly of death, and death could not hold him, and he burst forth from the grave on the third day. He came out of the stinking gut of death alive again, never to die again. And his promise to Mary, to his apostles, to all his baptized children, to you, to me, is that he will bring each and every one of us through the hole he punched in death into the eternal home he has prepared at the hand of his Father. This is why we gather today as God's people. This is why we gather every week as God's people. The promise, the promises of the forgiveness of sins, the promise of eternal life, the promise of the resurrection of these dying bodies. These promises are so far away from our day-to-day experience. This world is full of retribution and darkness and hate and death, all of which we are partakers. We easily fall prey to the temptations and the priorities of this world, neglecting the good things that God would give us. We must constantly be renewed, strengthened in our faith. We must continually return to the Lord in repentance and be fed his word, be fed his body and blood. And so today, to strengthen your faith in his resurrection, Jesus puts into your dying bodies and mine that body that was on the tree, that blood that was shed for all of your sin, his body that was in the tomb that sanctified your grave, his body that Mary held in that garden the first Easter day, and he pours down your throat the blood that he shed to wipe out the sin of the entire world. And he reminds you that he did it all for you. He says to each of us, as death could not hold me, so it will not hold you, my child, you baptized into my undying life. I will bring you out of death just as I came out of death, alive, never to die again. Death is vanquished. Death is defeated. In the name of Jesus. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.